Good afternoon. Welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom. I'm going to be hosting the show today. I'm a local vet tech and also currently just finished up a certification, and I am a certified canine behavior consultant. Today's show is with Dr. Chad Rober, who comes from Alpine Animal Hospital. Ask the Vet is a call-in show, so please give us a call if you have any questions that arise from today's show or any other pet-related questions. Number here is 963-0139. So, Dr. Rober, one of today's show topics is about canine infectious respiratory disease. Why is this so important? I've been hearing a lot about this.
Yeah, we thought that would be a pretty good topic for the show today because, as many of our dog owners know, there is quite a little bout of a respiratory disease going up and down the valley. Started in about mid-July up in Aspen and has been up and down the valley since then. We keep thinking it's going to fade away, but unfortunately we're still seeing cases every day. So thought we should probably just touch a little bit on this syndrome, I guess we'd really call it, and just see what listeners might have questions and what we can do to help them out.
So is this the dreaded kennel cough that everybody talks about?
That's a good question. Technically, yes, but kennel cough historically has always been associated with a certain bacteria called Bordetella. At least that's what most people think. It turns out that this respiratory disease syndrome is much more complex than just one organism. So this is not Bordetella, but I guess you could say it's similar to kennel cough just because it is an infectious respiratory disease. Both ourselves and many other veterinarians up and down the valley have tested and trying to figure out, well, what is this organism? And I don't know of anybody who has isolated Bordetella. It appears to be much more of a viral origin, and it doesn't look like we have a vaccine for it right now. So the short answer is, yeah, it's kennel cough, but it's not Bordetella.
I just want to quickly interject. I did give the wrong phone number. If you want to speak to us live, call 963-2976. That's 963-2976 to ask any questions. So if your dog's been, I mean, what's the point of vaccinating for Bordetella then? I mean, is there a point to that?
Yeah, there is definitely a point because Bordetella is the most common cause of canine respiratory disease. It's just not the only cause. And we don't have vaccines for all the different causes. But the Bordetella bacteria is the most common. So by all means, I still would recommend that we have our dogs vaccinated for Bordetella, especially if you take your dog to places where other dogs are. That would include kennels, obviously, but that's not the only place the dogs get this. Most of the dogs we've seen actually have contracted it out in the dog parks. It looks like that the first what we call index cases were probably up in the park up in Aspen. So the answer is yes, we definitely should still vaccinate for Bordetella, but unfortunately that doesn't guarantee your dog still can't develop a cough.
Got it. That helps clarify that a little bit. How do they transmit this? Are they coughing all over each other? Or
that is the most common. It's where the kennel cough terminology came from. It's primarily an aerosol transmission. So coughing, barking in another dog's face.
Spitting at each other.
That's probably true, too. Licking each other, of course.
Right.
But also there would be the possibility of transmission if one dog had it and the next dog shared the same food bowl or toy, anything that where saliva could be. The virus probably isn't going to last in the environment much over 48 hours. So you don't have to worry about something that was licked last week or something. But by far and away, the most cases are going to be actual dog-to-dog contact.
Okay. But, you know, I think there's a question of, you know, how long will it take for someone to know if their dog has mm-hmm. been exposed and if they're going to have any symptoms?
That's a great question that I don't have as good an answer as I'd like.
Well, that's unfortunate.
That's called the incubation period. So how long does it take since by the time my dog becomes exposed, he's going to start to develop symptoms? We think it's somewhere around 5 to 7. That's been just our observation. But since we don't know what the organism is, we cannot be 100% sure of that. But our observation, it seems like it's about 5 to 7 days after they were exposed.
Okay. And I just want to remind the listeners that this is a live show, so please feel free to call in with any questions regarding this subject or any other pet-related subject, 963-2976. So what are the symptoms of this particular type of kennel cough? What are you seeing?
Obviously, the number one thing is cough, and it is quite a honking cough. Well, sometimes we call it a goose honk. Comes down from pretty down deep in the trachea.
Could you imitate that for us?
I don't think I can.
Sorry.
But just go out and about. You'll probably run into one of these dogs. But yeah, it's a cough. It's a cough that also produces a lot of phlegm. So there's a lot of production of mucus when those cells that are lining the trachea or windpipe are very irritated. One of the ways they respond is they increase the amount of mucus that they secrete. And so a lot of times people may even be confused that they think their dog is vomiting because they have so much phlegm. They will gag on that and they'll look like they're vomiting. So most commonly they'll have a bunch of coughs and at the very end they'll kind of clear their throat and bring up this big white phlegm. That's the number one sign. We do see a few dogs who are pretty lethargic. Some of these dogs are running a fever, others are not. And if they are running a fever, that's when we usually start to see them showing some lethargy, maybe not wanting to eat quite so much, just not acting like they're feeling very good.
Should people be taking their dog to the vet immediately when they hear a cough?
Well, it's probably the best. There's a lot of different causes of cough, but right now with this going through the valley, pretty good chance your dog may have a contagious disease. Now, when you come to the vet, almost all the veterinarians up and down the valley that I know, you may not be able to walk in the door. A lot of us are making people with these coughing dogs stay in the parking lot or at least putting them in a secluded area because, of course, we do not want to have this spread throughout our reception area. So I still would recommend that you go to your veterinarian and have it checked out because even though some of the dogs aren't that sick, we have seen some actually develop a secondary pneumonia from it.
Gotcha.
And in those cases, they really do need some medical treatment. So, yes, I would recommend that you go check it out with your vet.
Okay, and just to remind everyone, this is a live show, so please feel free to call in with any questions that are pet-related at 963-2976. Also want to just throw out a big shout-out to Katie and Kay. This is their pledge drive, and they need your support, so call in and support Katie and Kay. They're close to raising the amount of money they want, so please call in and help them out. Are you dispensing antibiotics for all these dogs? Is it like a flu? I mean, how do you...
Okay, well, first of all, it's not really the dog flu, which is a good question because there is such a thing as a dog flu. A number of veterinary practices have been testing, and so far I have not heard of anybody who has come up with a positive test for flu.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Rover. We have a caller. Mm-hmm. Caller, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I take my dogs to the Delaney Dog Park, and a friend of mine also takes her dogs to the Delaney Dog Park, and a vet told her that excuse me if this might seem odd, but...
No odd questions here.
Okay, the vet told my friend that it's okay if your dogs, sniff other dogs' butts, but it's when the dogs sniff each other's noses that the contagious disease might happen.
if
you want to discuss that.
I guess it's not a butt-to-nose type of disease,
no,
right?
That probably technically is true. I don't think they'd be shedding any virus from the back end, but I don't know if I would trust my dog to only sniff the rear end. So I still would be a little careful about dog-to-dog contact, but I think technically speaking, that's probably true.
Yeah, and dogs do like to sniff butts, but I don't know how you keep that to the only thing. So maybe avoiding the dog park right now is a better
idea? Well, you know, everybody has to decide their own risk. It's kind of like, you know, if there's something going on at school, are you going to keep your kid home just to protect them from, you know, contracting something? That's kind of a personal decision. This is definitely contagious, and there is always going to be risk of your dog getting a contagious disease when they're out and about with other dogs. But it's really a personal decision, and you know, we're not telling everybody, you know, you cannot go out the door, or you cannot, you know, you can't go to your grooming appointment. But I think you should think about it. You know, when there's a contagious disease going around, you really have to decide, is it worth that risk? And most importantly, if your dog is sick, please, please, please do not take them out and about, because that's the way we're going to get this kind of under control, is keep your sick dogs at home.
How long are these guys contagious for?
Well, we have to assume as long as they're coughing, they could be contagious. And what we're hearing from people is that it's often lasting somewhere around 10 days. Some people have told me up to 2 weeks. So I guess I would play it safe, and as long as your dog is still coughing, I'd probably keep them away from the other dogs.
Okay, and you know, back to the dog flu, you're saying this is not.
Yeah, at least as far as I know, no practice has been able to prove that it's the actual dog flu. Dog flu is a somewhat new thing. It's it actually mutated from the equine flu about 5 or 7 years ago. When it first did that, we were very concerned that it was going to be a very fatal disease. It turns out it's not, and it is acting a lot like other flu viruses in that it keeps mutating into different strains. So when we first started to see these dogs coughing, we were very concerned that this could be dog flu, and as far as I know, nobody's gotten a positive. The true dog flu, usually the dogs have a very heavy nasal yellow discharge and run very high fevers, and that is not the way most of these dogs are presenting.
Okay, that's good information. I feel like we just need to touch a little bit more on a few things that you started talking about. One being, you know, where the dogs can pick up this type of thing anywhere. Is that correct then?
Actually, so, you know, as long as there's another dog around, that's all it takes.
Okay.
Or even if they happen to share a water bowl that a dog had just left. So it's not just the kennels. It's not just the dog parks. If you are walking your dog down the street and the dog walking towards you is coughing, that's all it takes.
Okay.
So it does not have to be in a kennel situation.
So protecting your dog right now is just, you know,
good common sense mostly.
Okay.
You know, you'd have to perhaps walk your dog in a place where there's not as many other dogs. Just try to avoid large groups of dogs right at the moment. Just like with your kids, you know, if there's a bug going at school, you kind of take a few extra precautions about exposure and cleanliness. If you are having a bunch of dogs together, you know, the water bowls probably shouldn't be shared. Toys probably shouldn't be shared. Just general common sense.
Right, that's good. And just a reminder, this is a live show, so please feel free to give us a call. Ask your questions at 963-2976. Look, we have a caller. Yay! Thanks for calling. You are on the air.
Okay, hello.
Hi.
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, sure. Go right ahead.
Like, my dog is experiencing the following symptoms of, like, coughing randomly and, like, kind of, like, just kind of being drowsy-ish and, like, kind of sometimes refuses to eat, but, like, a really active dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, that...
It's a really active dog,
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
It could be this...
But what do you think it is?
Well, this very thing we're talking about would be pretty high on the list. Now, there's other things that can cause a dog to cough, everything from, you know, heart failure and pneumonia and other things. But if your dog is still acting pretty active most of the time, then this is definitely a possibility. So probably the best thing to do is have your dog checked out at your local veterinarian.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Pneumonia, right?
I'm sorry?
you said pneumonia, right?
Well, pneumonia would be a possibility, but pneumonia is the worst case scenario. This is not pneumonia, and okay. This is not as serious as pneumonia. But the only way you're going to know for sure is have your vet take a look at your dog.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Gavin, KDNK's news director, he's live with us here in the studio. Hi, Gavin. And you have a cat question?
Yeah, I want to ask you guys, thank you. I love this show so much. And I just want to remind folks, it is our pledge drive, and it's a great time to call up and support this show. Support public information for all of us animal lovers. If you want to reach us here in the studio to be live as a guest, you're going to call 963-2976. If you just want to call and support the station, call 963-0139. Here's my question. I have two cats that are very well behaved, that we let them go outdoors a little bit. So during the day when we're home, they can be out in what we call the catio, our mm-hmm. little uh-huh. back patio. Mm-hmm. And there's one trouble cat in the area. We live right down by the junior high. And this cat has been a big problem. At one point, got into a really big fight with one of our cats. And our cat ended up with a giant gash on his head. Right. We went to see Dr. Ben. It was like $150. And, mm-hmm. and they cleaned it all up. And within 2 weeks, the antibiotics had worked and we were good.
Right.
But it was really scary. And then when we saw this cat come back after spending this money and mm-hmm. obviously my cat suffering, we're like, well, we got to do something. So it turns out my next door neighbor has a humane trap mm-hmm. and we've put the trap out. I've now been able to take pictures of this cat.
Oh, no.
And I know the cat is orange, does not have a clipped ear, and does not have a collar. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
My question is, assuming somehow, crossing my fingers, we are able to capture this attack cat that's uh-huh. obviously on the loose in our neighborhood, what's the appropriate next step? Of course, we don't want to hurt the cat. What's the next step?
Well, I think Carbondale still has an animal control, so that's who you need to get involved. And then they will take the cat to the holding facility. The good news around here is that we have really good animal control and really good shelters, and so it's not like the cat's going to be immediately killed or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so we're very fortunate around here that we have some very good shelters. So I would get the animal control department here in town of Carbondale involved, and they may be able even to help you catch this cat.
That's what the other thing I was going to ask is, mm-hmm. it's, you know, mm-hmm. my next door neighbor put out some tuna fish mm-hmm. inside the trap, and mm-hmm. we've kept our cats inside so they don't go for the tuna, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for the last two evenings, no luck.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we open our doors again and let our cats back out, this cat will come back, I'm sure. So it's a bit of a catch 22.
Yeah.
Cat 22,
right at the catio, really.
Right. Yeah. Catio 22.
That's right.
So any tips on actually capturing the attacker?
Not that you haven't tried. I think live traps are mm-hmm. usually the way to go. Mm-hmm. May have to try some different food treats. May have to be careful where you place this this trap. They're going to be kind of suspicious if it's out in the open. You might be a little sneaky and put it in some place that's a little covered.
Interesting. Okay.
So mm-hmm. that they're not so scared. Mm-hmm. So
they like small places. You know, they like mm-hmm. to hide small mm-hmm. places. Mm-hmm.
So,
things like that.
And again, maybe I shouldn't speak for the animal control people, but they might have some ideas.
Great.
And but you're on the right track. I think trying to trap the cat with the live trap's the way to go.
Well, I'm going to shut up and let you guys finish the show.
That's good.
If I can, I'm going to pull up the number for animal control before the end, and we'll give that before the end of the show.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Great.
And speaking of cats, actually, and this respiratory illness, have you seen that this can go to cats or even people? I know some people get concerned about diseases passing amongst.
Yeah,
it's everyone.
Pretty good question, because I have not heard of this particular outbreak going to any cats, but there are cases where the Bordetella bacteria has gone to cats, and there are a few cases apparently of the dog flu that's gone to cats. But as of right now, this particular outbreak, I have not heard that there's any cats involved. People's a very good question, only in that I've been a little concerned about people who might be immunosuppressed. So,
okay, that's good.
So I had one case where the dog really wasn't that sick, but because of the human's condition, I did put that dog on antibiotics, somewhat for the dog, but also just to try and protect the human. So, again, have not heard of any cases where a human has got it, but if you are a human that is immunosuppressed, I'd probably be a little extra careful.
Okay, that's good information. And you know, while we're talking about cats, we're talking about cats in the outdoors. I've heard a little something about you know, cats needing to be current on vaccines, specifically the rabies vaccine.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to know, could you explain why that's so important?
Yeah, well, it's important. One of the reasons is that we recently had a bat test positive for rabies around here. That's not really that unusual. Most of these bats are not residents here. They're often migratory bats that are kind of passing through the area. And this is not the first time we've ever had a positive rabies on a bat. But the reason it's so important is that a rabid bat is something a cat can't resist.
He's going to
be flopping around on the ground. And it so happens we did have a cat get exposed to this bat. Now, the good news is no cat rabies. There's no domestic animals that have rabies. But it really brought home the point that we really need to keep these animals vaccinated for rabies. Rabies is, unfortunately, in Colorado becoming more common. They're having quite a problem over in eastern Colorado, even in the Denver area, where the skunk rabies is showing up. So far over here in western Colorado, it's been mostly the migratory bats. The bottom line is we really do need to keep our animals up to date on rabies. It's not something we can mess around with.
That's good information to have. And I wanted to know, you know, can cats hunt on every other different little tiny rodent and animal? Is there anything else they can get rabies from that would be common for the cat?
Yeah, that one of the questions I get frequently is, well, can my cat get rabies from a mouse? Well, that would be extremely uncommon. In fact, the health department won't even test a mouse for rabies. That's how uncommon it is. So in the cats around here, I'd put bats at the top of the list. The thing that's a little nerve-wracking is that we have a lot of other potential vectors for rabies. I mentioned skunks. That's the main carrier of rabies in many parts of the country. In other parts, coyotes. In other parts of the country, foxes. And as you can see, we have all the above. So
it would be hard-pressed to see a cat take down a coyote.
Not too likely, but raccoons would be the other one.
Oh, okay.
And so raccoons can harbor quite a few diseases. A little bit off track, but we have had a lot of raccoons show up with canine distemper.
Oh.
And so just a little plug for proper vaccination for both your dogs and your cats, because there really are some risks with the amount of wildlife we have in our area that our pets can get exposed to some bad diseases, both rabies and distemper.
I think, are they not now vaccinating horses for rabies?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just in the last few years, it's become common to vaccinate horses around here for rabies, and that's because of this increased incidence we're seeing in Colorado in general. So you will talk to the horse veterinarians around here, and most of them now are recommending that horses be vaccinated for rabies also.
Okay, good. And one last touch on the rabies vaccine. You know, how safe is it for pets?
Yeah.
No, that's always a concern.
Yeah, vaccine safety is a huge issue. It's especially, I think, a popular topic in our valley. You have to decide. I feel the vaccine is very safe. It's a killed virus. In other words, you're not injecting live rabies into your animal. And so the chances of your animal actually getting rabies from the vaccine is almost zero. Now, can your animal have a reaction to the vaccine? The answer is always yes, that is possible. So if you feel very strongly that you really don't like vaccines, the other thing you can do is you can have your animal's antibody titers measured and see, do they have protective titers against rabies that may allow you not to have to vaccinate as often.
Okay, good. That's about going to wrap up our show. I just wanted to thank all the listeners for listening to Ask the Vet here at KD&K. I know it wasn't exactly the most exciting subjects, but it's very important information, and hopefully you learned something.
All right. Hey, Gavin here. I just want to let you guys know I looked all over the carbondalegov.org website, and there are places on there that tell you to call animal control for different reasons, but I could not find a number anywhere. So I would say if you do want to try to reach out to them, just call Town Hall directly at 963-2733. That might help. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.